welcome once again to NaturalDocRadio.com. I'm Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor, and I'm here as always with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we are bringing you information that can have dramatic impact on your life and well-being. Hi, Dr. Slavin. What is on the agenda for today?
Hi, Janet. I search the news all the time, the health news. And a lot of the times, it's sort of looking for ways to help my patients that come in. And one of the things I'm still seeing with patients is that the women are still getting mammograms for the most part.
Despite all of the information that we have been putting out into the community over the years about the alternatives that are available, yes, I still hear from women that they are going for an annual mammogram.
Well, and I understand that because I don't expect them to take my word for it because they still speak to their OBGYN. They say, get a mammogram. If the mammogram, or if they feel a lump in their breast, they tell them, go get a mammogram. They never mention an MRI of the breast. Now, the interesting thing is, an MRI of the breast is a far superior way of imaging the breast without compression or radiation. And women have come to me and said, I had an MRI of the breast, but they still wanted a mammogram after that.
It's very interesting, the multiple testing modes that many of the practitioners require. What about an ultrasound? I hear from some of the ladies that sometimes their doctors are suggesting an ultrasound.
That's a subtle admission that mammograms are not the greatest test in the world, but more importantly, I think it's really just another way to generate a little bit more revenue. Does that sound cynical of me?
So the bottom line is what is important in the medical industry?
An ultrasound, let's say you felt a lump in your breast.
Okay.
If you did an ultrasound, it would distinguish between a solid or cystic, meaning fluid-filled, lesion. And that's it. Doing the MRI of the breast, the way it's done today, you can probably determine with greater than 90% accuracy whether what you're feeling is cancer or not before you even do an invasive test, a needle biopsy, for example.
So women would be able to get a very, very high percentage probability of a lump that they've noticed and be able to differentiate whether this is something they need to have concern about and requires treatment or something that is a benign growth?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, this is what I recommend to women. I say, let's say you even had a mammogram and they say, oh, you need a needle biopsy. I would say before that, get the MRI of the breast. Do the non-invasive studies before you go to invasive studies. And the reason for that is if the suggestion by MRI is that it's malignant, you want to think about how you want to approach that. And many times, what if there is more than one malignancy at the same time? That may be a reason why women get recurrences so often. On a mammogram, they saw one suspicious lesion, and that's what they addressed, and they missed all the others. But you will see those if you do an MRI with contrast. It's a better way of really getting a view of the breast.
Okay, now I, too, haunt the news articles with regard to health. And one of the issues that I was reading about recently was the chemicals used to do an MRI with contrast, gadolinium. Okay, and that the potential for residual, the potential for your body to hold on to that chemical can be a damaging situation, and also that it would have a negative impact on brain chemistry.
Well, you know, when we've done heavy metal testing, we see gadolinium come up if the patient has had a test with contrast. But I'm really not aware that the risks of using gadolinium outweigh the benefits of using it.
Okay, so here we are at a situation, again, where you are weighing risk-benefit. And certainly the kind of information you get with the MRI with contrast is significantly lower risk than doing the invasive biopsy procedure. Is that kind of where you are, Dr. Slavin?
Right, and another important point, if you do the non-invasive MRI with contrast and the report comes back that this is a malignancy with a high degree of certainty, there are a lot of women out there that still will opt out of surgery, chemo, or radiation. And if that's going to be your choice, you don't want to be sticking needles into your breast and then decide, well, I'm going to take a different approach, because that increases the risk of metastasis.
So essentially breaking the outer edge of the suspicious growth in the breast, sampling the cells on the inside and drawing out that sample, then we're talking on a cellular, on a microscopic cellular level, that you are freeing these cells that have the potential to land on other vulnerable tissue and create further disease. Now, when mainstream medicine does those biopsies, are they doing anything to prevent that potential occurrence?
Not if you use a needle biopsy. However, if you do a core biopsy, the thinking there is that instead of sticking a needle into the tumor and taking out a tissue sample, you're taking out the entire tumor with the normal surrounding tissue, so that in reality the patient is cured just by the core biopsy, and you haven't left any cancer behind, so the possibility of cure is even greater that way.
How common is a core biopsy? Because very, very few women that I speak with have speak to me at all about having had a core biopsy, and most of it is a needle biopsy that I hear about.
It's because it's easier to do. You don't need the same special equipment that you do in order to get a core biopsy and special training.
Okay, so with a core biopsy, essentially, as you've said, Dr. Slavin, that has the potential to be looked at as a cure. You have removed the abnormal growth. Now, what happens for women who have, say, 3 abnormal growths? Are when they see their oncologist, are you going to do 3 separate needle biopsies, or is it potentially acceptable that there would be 3 core biopsies?
I would have to defer to a surgeon and see how he would do it. Mm-hmm. Because I presume there would come a time when they would say, well, you've got it. If you've got several locations, maybe now we're looking at a mastectomy. But in order to justify a mastectomy under those circumstances, you'd have to show through tissue samples that each of those locations are definitely cancer.
Okay.
So you'd still have to biopsy it.
Right.
So then you're looking again at doing a core biopsy as opposed to a needle biopsy. And the reason mastectomy may be an issue is that you're going to have so many deformities.
With so many deformities as part of both the diagnostic approach and the treatment by mainstream medicine, that apparently leaves a lot to be desired. Dr. Slavin, I like to offer our listeners solutions. So we've very clearly pointed up the shortcomings and the problems that are part of this whole picture. What do we have to offer women, number one, in the preventive area, and what are some of their options should they have a diagnosis of breast cancer?
I think the real question is, are mammograms being done to save lives, or are mammograms being done to generate revenue?
Wow. Boy, is that a get-to-the-point question.
There's nothing wrong with generating revenue as long as you're saving lives at the same time.
Getting quality information.
Well, that the benefit of the mammogram, regardless of what it costs, is translating into lives saved. So there have been several studies out in the last few years, and they've concluded that mammograms do not save lives and may actually harm more women than they help. And the reason for that is, a lot of times you do a mammogram and they'll see something that they think is cancer, and then overtreatment start. Now, overtreatment might be from, well, let's say that just the initial needle biopsy that they're going to do turns out to be benign. So if they had known, if you didn't take that route, you wouldn't have had a needle biopsy. Let's say you had a biopsy and it was misinterpreted as cancer.
Whoa.
That's a false positive. Then you get your overtreatments. Another possibility, women that go for, this happens a lot. They say, well, you know, something looks suspicious. Let me take another view. Let me take another angle. Let me take a zoomed in view. All additional exposure to radiation and, of course, the increased risk of radiation-induced cancers.
The other situation there is the intense stress that women are experiencing over this time frame when they don't necessarily know what they're dealing with.
For sure. Now, according to research that was published in 2010, the reduction in mortality as a result of mammographic screening was so small as to be non-existent. For every 100,000 people that got a mammogram, they saved 2.4 lives.
Were spared. Wow. Oh, my goodness.
Then there was another study in 2011 published in the Lancet Oncology, which showed for the first time that women who received the most breast screenings had a higher cumulative incidence of invasive breast cancer over the following 6 years than the control group who received far less screenings. Now, that's interesting. They didn't say the control groups received no screenings, just far less screenings. That means perhaps if you had a control group not getting screened at all, they would have had even fewer cancers.
Very, very interesting and disturbing information.
And there was a new study out of Harvard and Dartmouth in a published paper which came to the same conclusions. So here's what you have. Here's the takeaway. After analyzing cancer registry data from 16 million women in 547 counties across the United States, they found no evident correlation between the extent of screening and 10-year breast cancer mortality. Now, that's an important statement, because 10-year breast cancer mortality, they're not saying you're cured after 5 years. They said give it 10 years. That means a lot of the people that were so-called cured had recurrences. The researchers concluded that mammograms primarily find small, typically harmless or non-lethal tumors, which leads to widespread overdiagnosis. In other words, they're diagnosing cancer, and women are being treated for cancers that would never create a problem and really don't deserve treatment. So the chief medical officer of the American Cancer Society and author of the book How We Do Harm, Dr. Otis Webb Rawley, his definition of the term overdiagnosis in cancer medicine, he says, a tumor that fulfills all laboratory criteria to be called cancer, but if left alone, would never cause harm. You see, that's the problem. We think all cancers cause harm, and they don't. This is a tumor that will not continue to grow, spread, or even kill. It's a tumor that can be cured with treatment, but does not need to be treated and or cured.
This is such an incredibly important area of discussion. can we extrapolate from this information that it could be applied to other types of cancer? Because Dr. Brawley's book is how we do harm. So he isn't necessarily just focused on breast cancer. And the area of harm that I'm thinking about now is how so many men are viciously over-treated with regard to prostate cancer, when indeed the situation would be that it is something that fulfills all the criteria to be called cancer, but would never cause harm. It wouldn't grow, it wouldn't spread, it wouldn't kill. And we have so much of that in so many different areas of the cancer treatment approach in this country. I see it so much that people are essentially frightened into making very, very quick decisions about moving forward with a variety of different so-called treatments.
Well, here's another important statistic. For every 10 percentage point increase in screening rates, in other words, you get more women in for mammograms, the incidence of breast cancer rose by 16%. I mean, you screen. Okay. So what does that say? Well, it doesn't necessarily mean the mammogram is causing the cancer. It just means you're screening more women, you're going to find more breast cancer.
And for everyone who has tuned in to naturaldocradio.com, thanks for visiting us today. And make sure you visit often, because we have new and interesting audio articles for you to tune into all the time. Thanks for visiting.